Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Annabelle Ternes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and relax and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Dr. Anne Hines, and I'm very happy to have her here. She's a visionary leader, from dentist for children to famous singer-songwriter on stage. She's convincing via the way she is. And then let's kick off things first with a song selected by her. Today we welcome a remarkable mind whose work bridges science, strategy, and reward transformation. Dr. Anne Hines stands for a new generation of thought leaders where knowledge is not only created, but translated into meaningful impact. With a deep commitment to innovation, sustainability, and human progress, she is helping redefine how we connect ideas with action, from dentists for children to famous singer-songwriter on stage. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Anne Heinz. Hi, Anne. Great to have you here.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
And yesterday you had your cover shooting, and today you're sitting here. What excites you most about your singing, your songwriting?
I think, I grew up with my father, and I never learned to talk about my feelings because, as usual, father's like, don't cry and, just swallow your emotions. And so I learned at a very young age that I have no way to express my feelings except writing. And so I started writing stories and books and music at a very young age. And it became kind of a therapy for me to release emotions which I do not allow myself to talk about. So that's, I think, the most important and healthiest part about the music. To be really honest, cover shoots or video shoots are very exhausting, are very, very sometimes annoying, but I'm so blessed with my team and I'm so blessed that I'm working with my brother who is just the best. And that's why it's always a lot of fun. And I'm just looking like a mess today, because I just had 2 hours of sleep, but it was
Well,
amazing. I
you
really
look,
enjoyed it.
I think I would say you look amazing also to the ones who can see you only now. I mean, why? Because you're attractive from nature. You have a glow from inside. And I think this is also what makes us most attractive and really showing and shining. It is less your makeup. It's less that you have maybe some rings under your eyes or some gray areas. And it's because you're shining, because you see that you like what you do, or you love what you do, and you can do so much with this what you do.
Thank you so much. I can just give that compliment back. I think beauty is something which comes from the inside, but and this is something which I learned in this industry a lot, which doesn't play a big role in my scientific career. Maybe a little bit, but in the music world, it's like you're getting judged every second, and you're getting judged in such a rude way from most of the time, guys. But you're getting judged by, and I'm 36 years old, so it's very common that they say, "Ah, oh, she looks a little bit like this," or "She looks a..." so. Probably, but you're so right. You're so right. I have to remind myself, this is not what beauty is. Beauty comes from the inside. You're absolutely right.
What daily ritual contributes you most significantly to your vitality that you look like you look?
I have like a routine in the morning, which is just 8 minutes, and 2 minutes of that are praying. I started praying 1 year ago, and it's kind of a meditation thing. I feel like, because I wasn't a religious person, but I became one, I would say, by just practicing it. And so, yeah, that is something which is really important to me in the morning. I go on a walkie with my little dog Olaf, who is very annoying if he doesn't go out on time. So that is something which is non-negotiable. I need to do that in the morning. And then it depends, if I'm going to the studio. Most of the times I'm going to the gym before that, or if I have a shooting, I immediately start that day. So it depends a little bit, but these 8 minutes in the morning and the walkie with Olaf are always happen.
That's great. So you have always also your dog with you?
Yes, I try to. Sometimes they forbid dogs, in some venues or in some clubs or whatever, they forbid them. But I try to keep him around myself because he is just the best, like my brother. I'm such a crazy animal lover. It's not just dogs. I also love all the other animals, but Olaf became kind of my best friend, which is a bit pathetic, but I do love him so much. Yeah.
Oh, what kind of dog is he that we can imagine?
He's a Jack Russell Terrier, but not these annoying, always barking type of shitty Jack Russell. No, he's laying in my bed and listening to the things I'm telling you. So yeah, he's super sweet.
Oh, I'm asking because I want to share a funny story with you. My 7 years old son, he said a few days ago, "Oh, mommy, can I join you for a business meeting?" And I talked with this about the woman, and she said, "Oh, I have a very cute dog. He's a really, really cutie dog. He's a kind of pillow. So if you have him in a hand, it's a kind of pillow." And I described this to my son, and he said, "Oh, mommy, I need to see this dog." So we went there, and there was standing in front of us a dog. He was not combed. He looked like that he spent, I think, an hour in sand or something. So he looked really that you didn't want to cuddle him. And my son stood in front of him and said, "No, this is not a pillow. No."
Yeah, yesterday we've been on the farm and Olaf loves to put himself into the shit of the horses. So yeah, sometimes he's also not the best
I mean, you were in the business and you just said so are you people look at you and they look from you from all sides to you, and I mean you are very natural, you are very spontaneous, but does aging plays a role in this business? Is it that you are judged because of this? Is this maybe also something which is especially to women, or what are your experience?
I would say, if you would have asked me that question 10 years ago, I would have completely had a different answer to that. I would say, I would say I'm so afraid of aging. People judge me by my marks, judge me by the changement of my body, and that is true. That is a part of the truth. But because of what's happening in my life, I see aging as a privilege, and now I'm really embracing aging. So if somebody says, "Oh, you look like end of 20s," I'm saying I don't want to. I'm 36. I don't need to look like fucking 28. I'm not. I was looking like shit when I was 28 because I was using Botox and hyaluron and a lot of that stuff, and that actually made me a different person, and I wasn't looking like myself. But the hard truth in this industry is that a lot of label bosses say we do not sign women over 25, and that is a truth which is actually happening. So yeah, if you consider yourself, or you try to work in the entertainment industry, it doesn't matter if you're a musician or a model. I think it's harder if you're a little bit older, but there are also a lot of advantages. You got a lot more experience, you know what you want, and there are people who support you even if you're over 30. So I think it's getting better and better, and we need some women in those places to show other women, hey, you can, your life is not over after 25. And yeah, I think it's changing, but I get judged a lot by my visuals from labels, from managements, from whatever, every person I work together with, because this is part of the job. The way you look is part of the job. And I think I try to just see it not as a personal critic, just this is the brand, the artist, and they judge my hair color. They judge my figure. Okay, but this is not Anne. Anne is the character, the heart, and the soul. This is how I try to separate those two things to not get hurt by some comments, you know?
That's great. I love that. Because I mean, everybody, I think, had the situation, a lot of, especially women, had the situation. And I love that because, I mean, in the past, for example, when I started my first job as a professor, and it was really a hard step for me from top management and lifestyle luxury to professorship. And then afterwards, a colleague said to me, he said, "Do you want to hear what they said?" I said, "Yeah, of course. Just tell me." And he said, "Oh, they said, oh, we are happy that now a woman starts with migration background who looks pretty." I said, "What?" They didn't say anything about the publications I wrote, anything about my expertise. He said, "Sorry, sorry, I can't." No.
Imagine that in your case. I could imagine that you get a lot of times they judge you by the good look you have, and they do not expect the intelligence. This is, I mean, I would try to see it as a compliment. But yeah, the thing is, and that's so fun because I saw a video where a woman asked a man, "Did you ever get asked if you get the job because of your looks?" And I guess no man ever get asked that. But yeah, I mean, there are also advantages because the way we look also to be really honest, that also helps me in my life. In a lot of cases, people listen to me because the way I look. So, yeah, I think there's always an up and a downside, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I really can imagine this moment, which I shared with you just because somebody told me you should wear glasses. And from my working at Fielmann, where it was a duty to wear glasses, even if you don't need to wear glasses, I had glasses with window glass. So I put this on and it didn't fit. And I was always shaking this. And I thought, oh, damn it. And in the end, I took it just off because I thought, okay, with or without glass, I mean, you look as you are. And I started laughing about myself. And yes, you're absolutely right. I think we should do less doubting or less caring in a way of, is this good enough or should we do better? What are these people thinking about me? Is this fitting? I like that you say, okay, this is a professional part, which is just a brand, and this is Anne, because it makes it easy. As I'm sometimes also a bit fluttering when I have to do social media, because from my past family, it was a kind of forbidden to show up. And every time where there was a photo of me by playing piano, I was like, oh my God, is there anything wrong about me that my family could get disappointed, angry, push me out of the family, say you're a black sheep because of this picture. So getting ready that this is a brand and this, I like this very much. This is a good tip, which I think it makes it much, much easier to go through a day. Except also there are people who will always look at you at this role, but you have other roles and you have so many great roles.
Yeah, it makes a lot of things easier, and I also get judged a lot by my family in the past, and sometimes this generation do not understand the impact of social media. And so I said to my father when he was like, "Oh my God, how could you do that? How could you dress as a princess, as a dentist? Oh my God, that's so embarrassing." I said, "Daddy, just watch me and see. I promise you it's gonna work out. I'm pretty sure it's gonna work out, and I do not hurt anyone with that. I do not put any harm on anybody. So as long as I'm a good person, and you know me, I am, please, please just trust me." And this is how I try to convince him. Sometimes he just wrote to me in the middle of the night, like, "Oh my God, what did you just post there? Politics. That's a very hairy topic in our family." So he's like, always, "You cannot say this. No, you're not my daughter, blah, 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 whatever."
It's really funny. And I'm sure that we talk a little bit further after the break, which is approximately 2 minutes, about what a princess has to do with Anne and what a dentist has to do with a princess and what a dentist has to do with a singer-songwriter. This is something we will hear after the break of approximately 2 minutes. So please stay tuned. And after the break, we will continue.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we promised, or I promised our audience that they get a secret solved about what a princess has to do with a dentist and what a dentist has to do with a singer-songwriter. And you just described a small scene of your life with your father, I guess, in your early days of a dentist. Because you have a very special way of being a dentist, how does this idea, or where does this idea come from, and how has it started that you built a special idea of dentist? And then we have to bring the bridge also, how this can be combined with a singer.
You know, I always want to become, as a child, I want to become a princess, a superstar, and a Bundeskanzler. I do not know the English word for that. So these are the three things I write in every friendship book, you know. And so when I finished my school, I wanted to make my parents proud. This is why I studied dentistry. I wanted to start medicine, but I was too late at the university. To make a long story short, I studied dentistry, but I never stopped making music. And then as a child, I always wanted to go to Disneyland, but we couldn't afford that because my father is a farmer, my mother is a waitress, so we couldn't afford to get to Paris or to California. And when I grew up, I would say in the age of 28, my fiancé surprised me with a trip to Disneyland Paris. And as an adult person, I saw the children crying because of the joy they had when they saw, you know, all these buildings and then their stars, their idols. And I was crying too, actually. And I said to my fiance, you know, I want to make children feel like that when they're sick. And the vision is to build a city which is called Hero Town, where we have like different disciplines of medicine to treat children, but in the environment that looks like Disneyland. To build those kind of things, you need millions, and not just millions, probably billions. And so I started to, you know, research, and my friend said, let's start with a tiny business to prove the concept. And because I was a dentist, I said, okay, let's build a dentist office that looks like, you know, like a fairy tale. And we did that. And I put on a princess dress when I treat the children. And I gave my assistants like Mickey Mouse costumes. And so we were all being like in a Disneyland dentist world. And it actually worked out pretty well. Yeah, and then at a certain point in my life, to find the conclusion to the singing and songwriting part, I lost my fiancé because of cancer. And after that period of time, I wasn't able to talk about my emotions and I felt very numb and I could not even talk to a therapist or something like that because I couldn't express my feelings. But I know a way to express my feelings was always writing. So I started writing songs again and that helped me a lot through that phase. And with that songs, I just posted them randomly. I mean, I really just had no intention on getting a record label deal or something like that. I just posted them. Very basic, no makeup, TikTok. And some of them went pretty viral and record labels wrote me and said, hey, we really love those songs. Are you actually interested in doing music all of the time? I said, yeah, that is my dream. And so I just became the manager of my office, no longer working as a dentist, and hired dentists to work there to keep the vision, and we having a lot of calls, so everything is fine there. Princess check, and now I'm working on the next dream, like became the superstar.
Wow, that's great. And how does it come when you write? Is it something you sit down and just the thoughts are writing you the text? Or is it that you're thinking about, ooh, I would like to write now a song? How is it if you'd have to describe this the situation of creativity?
I think a lot of people think I'm maybe such a party animal, but I'm actually not. I love to be just at home watching Lord of the Rings for the trillionth time and writing songs. So most of the times I'm at home with a good glass of mezcal, which is my favorite drink. It's a very nice tequila. And then I put on some candles and I just start with my guitar. I'm playing very bad. It's absolutely, it's a joke. You cannot even say it's guitar playing. But I'm doing some notes on the guitar. And then I just tell the guitar how was my day? Like you would talk to your therapist, right? And just my thoughts. And then sometimes there's a melody. And then I'm like, for example, yesterday I just wrote like, could you love me a little bit more? And then I called my producer and said, how do you think of that idea? Could you love me a little bit more? He said, yeah, let's do that. So, and this is then we go in the studio together. And then because he can play actually very good guitar, and then we start doing the song. So that's most of the time how it happens.
Wow, great. And how does your family react on this? You described your father was a farmer, your mother was a waitress. I mean, we grow up with the perspective of our parents first. We grow up first in our world, which is huge for us, and it's a small world, but as a small 4 years old, and maybe you know this from this happiness park, Europa Park Rust or something, they have a house where you see everything from the view of a 4 years old. And when you see this, a chair even looks really, really big. A table, wow, really big. And if you think then, I mean, your world exists out of two parents, which gives you the perspective of somebody who made it to a waitress and somebody who made it to a farmer. Or no critic about that. I think everybody could have a wide perspective or a fulfilled life, whatever you do, wherever you are. But it is that what you experience first. Where have you got your ideas of your getting your vision of being a superstar, a chancellor, or even also somebody who is on stage, is a princess, superhero?
For me, to be really honest, my father is kind of a superhero, so I do really love him so much, and I have so much, and it's so nice what you said. So I'm almost into tears now because you're absolutely right. Some battles people are fighting, we do not see them, and I know how hard it was because my father was the only person I had when I was a child because my mother left us very early, and I think he did his best. And that he always taught me to not have limits. And he always said, you can become whatever you want, and there are no limits. So he was very strict, and he put on, I think, the discipline I have today and the work ethic. That is something I get from him and also from my grandmother, because she was a doctor and worked till she was 78. So she really, really, really loved her job and really worked for the family. And this is such a good question. I think when I heard this question before and I didn't know how to answer, but maybe now. When
Thank
I
you.
wake up in the morning, there is kind of a voice in me which says, you have to do something. You are able to do something good in the world, and you should not waste those talents, and you should not waste your capacity to do something good. And the motivation I really have, for example, with those Hero Town, also with my songs, is to leave a footprint of something good. Because there's, and it sounds maybe a little bit weird or cringy, but this is really my intention to do something good. And then every person I have as a role model in my life had the same motivation to just do something good for the family, for other people, for whoever. But this is, I think, what is my fuel.
Great. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you talked about your grandmother, right? was a doctor. Is it that your grandmother was a somehow also kind of mother for you or a hero for you that women can?
I would say yes, because I lived like 5 years with my grandparents, so we're very, very close. But we're not very strong in emotions in our family. So, for example, when we say hi and bye, we just give ourselves the hands. So we never hugged each other. That was such a weird thing. I found it years ago, and they have demence, dementia, dementia.
Dementia.
So I started to hug them because they forgot that we just give ourselves the hands. But every time they're looking at me like, "What is she doing? What is that?" So, we're not very good in this whole emotional part. I think I learned it a bit now from my friends and from my former partners. But like I said, we never been very strong in that part.
I can really feel you. The curse, until my father died, and he died very early in the age of 56, I had to give him the hand like this and had to say father to him. He didn't want me to tell his forename. He hated that. Although he was a left party oriented person, where it does every have the same rights. And so, no, he was super. Not conservative, but it was exactly what you said. I think the war and all these criminal things and bad things and crime and wounded people. And so there was so much so close to him that he had to build on something like a wall to protect him against that everything could fall out and he don't find him anymore. And my mother was the same. I think I hugged her first 10 years ago when I came out of the hospital after they said that I had 3 days to live left. And I was in the wheelchair and I said, Mom, I'm a survivor and now I have to hug you. And she cried and I thought, wow, I was not sure if you can cry, Mom. That's new to me. And it really confused me. But my grandmother was the only one who came to me always and said, Annabelle, I'll hug you. You have to let this be done. I said, okay. And she said, I hug you now really, really hard because it has to stay until we see each other again. And I kiss you over the whole body, wherever I can, because it has to stay there until I see you again. And yeah, she passed away last year. And as you say, sometimes it's a small movement, it's a small moment, it's a small situation which does, which shows us what is possible. And she showed me what is possible. But as you, I had to find my voice and piano playing. I was only, I could only cry and shout by playing loudly because everything else was forbidden. So I completely get you by that. And I mean, you have a great voice. And what you said about guitar, no, really no. When you play the guitar, I mean, it's not about perfection. It is about the feelings. The guitar is playing you. And I think this is something which is a secret you are carrying, that you make the music being your emotions and the emotion being your music. And the words are just coming and the instrument is just playing. And it just because you put this emotion into this, it is a kind of frequency, I would say, which is shaking your body and it's touching you and it makes everything with you to feel that you're alive.
Thank you so much. You brought me to tears. Thank you for that as well. That
Thank you.
was such a nice story also with your grandmother. Isn't it fun that I just heard from a good friend of mine that when you have parents that are not so emotionally intelligent or not able to show emotions, a lot of the times the children get very, very emotionally intelligent or really learn to find ways to show their emotions. So that's, I think, something we really have in common, right?
Absolutely. I have sisters, two siblings, and one of this, when you see her and when we listen to her, you wouldn't say she's my sister. She's a machine building engineer and an electrotechnical engineer, and she can build cars and she can build machines. She's looking like this too. And the first time I saw her really female was when she got married and she had some makeup in her face and open hair. And I thought, oh my God, you have a beautiful sister. And she can't talk about feelings. It is not possible for her, as a kind of this wall against the protection of the death of my father. But my other sister, she is emotion. Everything what she does is emotion. Whatever she does or not does is emotion. And then there's me, who has learned what you can do with it, but also what you can destroy with it. And also where you have to make sure that society understands you. Because I think sometimes, I mean, a person like you, who is so first gifted, but also accepted that she's gifted and that, and accepted that you are not just a dentist, you are not just a singer, you are Anne. And everybody has facets. Everybody can play different roles. But society often don't accept this or accept this only if they say, ah, okay, you're somebody very special. I can't put you on any shelf. So I'll let it be. You are special. Is this that you feel that more people like to put you in shelves? Like, ah, Anne is a dentist who can sing a bit. Or, oh, Anne is a great singer, but she had to earn her money. Or is it that people try to find special stories about you?
Very good question. In the beginning, I would say everybody was laughing at my ambition to become a singer. Even my parents. They said, that's such a stupid thing. You're so successful with your dentistry. You should do that. You should stick to that. You know, there's a German saying, Schuster, bleib bei dein Leisten. So stick to the things you know. And it's so funny. A good friend of mine said, you know, it's so. Probably you will not be successful in two things in your life. You're so lucky that you have found the one thing which is like the golden shot, but two things, no, and you're a woman. We're not long of friends. How funny is that? Yeah, I really, really struggled with that a lot, but you know, when I have an idea, I just stick to the things. And in the beginning of my music career, my label says, please do not talk about that you're a dentist because the Germans probably will be overwhelmed if they hear she's a dentist and a singer. They, by time, so start by saying you're a singer. And now we changed the name to Anne West. Because if you Google Anne Heinz, which is my original name, you find a lot of things about my dentistry and scientific career. And if people who like my music in Germany will find out that too early, my labels was thinking maybe they do not think I'm sympathetic because a woman who have studied, who have a business, who is an investor, and try to fulfill their dreams is not something who is sympathetic, who is something who, you know, a woman who is too ambitious, no, probably she's a bitch, probably she is, and she have no children, she's selfish, of course she is. So yeah, I really struggled with that a lot, but now the older I get, and thanks God I'm getting older and a little bit more calm, to be really, really honest, I just don't give a shit any longer. I tell anyone I study dentistry. I tell everyone this is my way, and I think everyone can do the same because I'm not a superhero. I'm just a girl who tried to fulfill their dreams, her dreams. And yeah, we all do not know how long we have to stay on this earth. And I just try to make the most out of my life. Yeah, I'm happy how it worked out the last month. And of course, some days are better, some days are not so good. But you know, this is life, and this is also something I learned. I try to free myself from the opinions from others because everyone have their own package, their own baggage to carry. And this sometimes it's easier for people to judge you to do not feel their own problems. So if that helps you, you can judge me. I'm fine with that.
You're absolutely right, Anne. We people like to put fingers on others, and a sentence says, when you put one finger to the others, you put four fingers to yourself, and that's the pretty truth. And yeah, I think that we have a lot to talk further, so stay tuned. In 2 minutes, we will be back here.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK House Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we just talked about how people think about others because they feel not good in themselves. Self-leadership is something which means a lot to me. And you said also that we are on a path, life is a path, and we don't know how long it is. We don't know what could maybe happen next day. And I mean, you experienced a lot in your life. Just, for example, the situation with your fiancé, walking a path with somebody who is a loved one and knowing that his life ends on this earth earlier than yours, saying goodbye by knowing that the next day is not the day as beforehand and it will be a completely different day because you have to face it. And life is changing every day. We often don't want to accept it. That's why we are not open for changes from outside. And we try to resist with a lot of things, as it is my small little son who sometimes didn't want to change his pullover because it was a pullover who brought him luck. And he said, no, you don't get me. I would never change his pullover. It was a really, really hard discussion to prove other pullovers that they are also a luck giver. But we managed it, thanks God. So, to be honest, after a discussion with the head of the school who asked me to come and because of this pullover, he said, don't you have no pullover? I said, I have mass of pullovers at home in this size and in other sizes, but it is just this pullover who brings him luck, he said. So the story behind it is not that nice, but it says we like to stay with the things where we think this is really a good time. So we don't want to change it because we are kind of frightened what is the next day. And a lot of people like to judge. And if you if you ask them about self-leadership, I think they would be frightened to even look inside them because maybe they think it's dark inside. Maybe they think it's empty inside. How can we help these people? And I mean, I'm not sure if you feel the same, but often I think the Germans are also very good in that, to just don't look outside and see, oh yes, there's no sun, but it's green. Oh yes, there's not 24 degrees as in Spain, But there's no rain. So, what would you say to these people?
I would not consider myself as smart enough to teach other people how to live their life because I'm doing it the first time by myself. I'm not sure if this is the right way to do it, but I become more and more, not happy is the wrong word, fulfilled in my life when I try to understand more things and try to understand myself way more. And I just started like a year ago. To read a lot of philosophers, to read, for example, Marc Aurel and try to Dostoevsky or try to get more into literature and try to read more stuff which challenged my brain. And that is something which really improved my way of thinking about myself and about others. And, you know, when I lost this person in my life, or I did lost a lot of people in my life, I always had the feeling that this was kind of, oh, my life is so bad, but now I see it totally different. I think this is part of life, and I appreciate every emotion I have, even if it's a sad one, if it's a devastating one. This is the whole spectrum, and I am able to feel something. There are people who are already died who are not able to feel anything. So this sounds very, very dramatic, but this is how I see things now. And if I'm having a bad day and if I'm very sad, I also say, thank you, dear God, that I'm on this planet and I'm able to feel this because you would not see the sun if there would be no rain. So we need both things. We need the ups and the downs. And I think that would be my only suggestion to people if they are sad. Do not hate yourself for that. Do not blame yourself for being sad one day or having a bad day. This is absolutely normal. Be kind to yourself. And I think if we would be kinder to ourselves, probably the world would be a better place because especially women, I experience that so often that we be so rude to ourselves. We should be our own best friends, but a lot of times we are our own enemy when we stand in front of a mirror and telling ourselves, you're too fat, you're too this, you're too blah. Instead, we should change that to something more motivational. You're perfect as you are. You're such a good person. You're looking fabulous. And I try to do that. Sometimes the old Anne, the self-hating Anne comes back, but I try to be gentle to her as well because she's just the child who experienced some trauma, you know? And I try to be nice to her and say, hey, it's not that bad. We got this.
And I like what you said. I mean, it is interesting, but sometimes we needed a word to understand the better. And it is the same with the sun and the rain. I have some friends in states where there's always sun, and they said, "Oh, we wished so much to have a day of rain to understand how great it is to have the sun." And yes, unfortunately, it is. We sometimes need really the negative kicks in our life to understand, oh, wow, even a sad day is a better day than a day where we are not anymore here on Earth. And unfortunately, we often, or most of the people, see this too late. And I by myself, I always said, I don't want to sit on a sofa in the age of 80 something, looking back and saying, oh, I wish that I could have been on stage. I wish that I could have traveled to New Zealand. I wished, and having a list of a long, long list and saying, but I didn't, because this would make me sad. And this would make me also having the feeling that I had a lost life. Having a chance and seeing what all is possible, being thankful for this, and of course also the smaller the things. I think this is something which changes us. And going back to this situation where we started with, I mean, there are people which are super happy with playing golf the whole day. Okay, never mind. If this is their life and this is what makes them happy, it's fine. But I think even most of them, if you would ask them and they would ask themselves very honestly, are you happy? Is it fulfilling for you to start playing golf, sitting on a sailing boat all the day long without anything what you could reach, anything what you can reach, or not only in the external world, but maybe in the internal world that you reach for yourself, next stage or something. And I think most of them wouldn't like to have and find an answer.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of John Strelecky, and he wrote a book. I do not know in which book it was, but there is one picture, and I have that in my mind all the time. He says, when you're 80 and you're walking through a museum, and the art are pictures of your moments of your life, which moments do you want to see? And that really changed my life because, you know, I was married before, and I already told you before the radio show, you know, that was a very superficial life. Like, he wanted to have those watches, he wanted to drive those cars. And, you know, then when you see those pictures later in your museum, but you're sitting alone in that car, and you, I'm sorry, I should not say this. I'm so sorry already. Sorry. You're wearing that watch, you know, but you're alone, and this is why I also decided the policy in my businesses are always more, you know, focused on that pictures I have when I'm 80. So I want to be on pictures where I'm at the wedding of my colleagues, where I have their children in my arms, and this is how I try to build my businesses. And always keeping in mind, when I'm 80, I want to walk through that museum, not the watch, not the car. I don't give a whatever. But I really try to build my life to have great moments. And there's a thing I really also keep in mind. It's not about the moments where you breathe, it's about the moments that take your breath away. And I try to build as much as possible those kind of moments.
Wow, that sounds really good. That sounds really good. I really like that. Moments who take your breath away. I think these are moments where you really feel that you're alive, right? And if you can if you can open these moments also for other people, which feel this maybe when you sing a song, which maybe feel this when they feel, oh, I'm not alone with my pain. I'm not alone with my happiness. I'd like to share this. These are moments where you can, which can be a breath away. And I sometimes think, I mean, we are living in a life where a lot of people grow up with kicks, which you get all the time. You get light kicks, you get scenes which are cut it very quick. Young people, young children see horror movies or movies where people are shot or things like that. And for them, it's not a kick anymore. It is something which is normal. What is possible to help them finding these moments of feeling like it's taking your breath away without meaning that it must be, for example, the Disney in Orlando or the rocket flight with Katy Perry or whatever.
You know, for me, it's nature. So if I'm seeing a sundowner, a beautiful sunrise, I start crying sometimes, you know, if it's really nice. And that could be in front of my door. If I'm walking in the morning and I see a family which is happy and children are playing, I'm very happy as well. But to be really, really honest, I just realized those tiny moments, how precious they are after the death of my fiance. So I'm today, and that sounds so bad, I'm so thankful for that experience because it reshaped my whole life and my whole perception of things. When you asked me that question 5 years ago, probably I wouldn't even recognize a sundowner or sunrise. I wouldn't even care about that. I was so career driven and so ambitious that I forgot everything else. And now, like I said, I'm praying, I'm just with my friends, and sometimes we just, you know, we're just walking, not even talking, and I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm here, I'm alive, fresh air. And I really, really try to be just grateful for all the tiny things. When I'm cuddling with my dog and he does not smell like shit, I'm
I like that, and it reminds me also about sometimes something at me. My small son often said, "Mommy, you have a really bad humor." And I said, "What is a bad tumor?" He said, "Oh, you're laughing about really shitty things." I said, "Give me a sample." He said, "Oh, of course, you say, for example, the dog doesn't smell good, and you start laughing." I said, "Yes, but what is bad about that?" He said, "This is not a good tumor. We have to find a better one for you."
I love
And I said, okay, sorry, but I'm from Rhineland, and the Rhinelandian, they're well known for really bad jokes, and they're also well known for laughing out loud, even if it's a bad joke. I'm sorry for that. Would you say, Anne, I mean, you're a role model by yourself, and I guess to many, to maybe young girls, but also to older young girls, or to the girls who maybe find their girl inside them again, because they have never been a girl. What is a role model to you, or do you have role models?
First of all, thank you so much. I wouldn't consider myself a role model because I'm doing so many stupid things still, and I fail so often, but thank you so much. I would say I see good things in everyone, like, to be honest, I have a girl in my office who cleans the office, and she's doing it with such an ambition, and she is so passionate about it, and she puts, some flavor drops into the cleaning stuff that everything smells nice, and it's something she is really happy about, and she is grateful for tiny things, and I do love that so much. So I think it's everyday life and everyday people who inspire me and who I take as role models.
I love that very much. I liked also what you said about Dostoevsky, because it reminded me of a time where I was asked by Aspen Institute to qualify for a fellowship, and it said you have to read Dostoevsky and other things like that. I said, "Oh, boring! I don't want to do that. That's not my piece of cake." But then I did it. And it's exactly what you said. It opens your mind. It gives you unexpected things. And even if you think, "Oh my God, I don't get there because I'm used to watch a lot of pictures," then it blows your mind away because it opens your deep, deep world. And you opened up to us today a really deep, deep world inside you. And I'm very, very happy that you did that, that you opened yourself. And I thank you for all our listeners on today. And I thank you also for for you as being someone who's close to my heart. And I'm very happy if we can do things together in the future. And I'm very happy that we both, on different ways, change a word for a world worth living in, which is a world where people are happy, where they look at themselves and feel that there's a lot to say, and where everything is that we see there's an alternative against war. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It was a pure honor, and thank you so much. You inspire me by role when we're talking about role models, you are one. So thank you so much. It was really, really wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne, and I hope to see you very, very soon. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strengths, resilience, and happiness and limitless potential of everybody around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence means a lot to the world, to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift to you to discover your inspiration. Thank you for being part of this community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.